No.
Well, the universe is what
and
we
the
cover.
Waterfront. And the waterfront.
That's
right. All right. Well. Welcome to the universe. The universe that
the intergalactic headquarters.
That's right. Right.
You're our starship captain, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm something. I haven't figured out what yet.
Well, early in the morning, right?
Yeah. It's you know, every morning I get up and I put on the TV at about 3 o'clock in the morning just to see if the world is still around. So,
well, listen, tell us, is it?
Yes, that's the only reason I'm here right now.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Because, you know.
Let's start off with your first story, and this is a story that I've been following at theberkshireedge.com, and it's a story, quite frankly, as somebody who has been involved in looking at Region 1 and the education process here and what goes on across the line in New York State as well. The Massachusetts School Building Authority has rejected an application to upgrade Monument Mountain Regional High School, and one of the reasons they objected from what I can gather is they said there's far worse cases. I don't know. I mean, what's been going on with Monument Mountain seems to me to be a case that the state should take a look at very, very closely.
Yes.
Remember a few years ago we went through this same process with the state, and I remember we were publishing pictures of barrels in the school hallways that were placed there because the roof was leaking.
We did some. This town did something very foolish about how long ago.
They voted down it, right?
They voted it down. I mean, the state was offering all this money, and there was a group of people who started a disinformation campaign and convinced people that if we voted it down, the state would give it to us anyway, which was not the case. And now, you know, the state is not coming back, and the school's getting worse.
Which is what we warned would happen.
Right.
And because there's a big queue for high schools across the state lining up for, you know, not a limited, but, you know, it's not an unlimited amount of school building funds. And so we have to go back to the bottom of the queue to wait our chance for, you know, in another couple of decades, maybe. Who knows?
Well, you know, it wouldn't be bad if they explained it that way, but to say just out and out basically imply that there's more important things than there's more important and more needy schools is just a wrong way to word it. I mean, a political decision that was made by some taxpayers who are under strain should not really penalize the school from at least meeting the minimum standards.
Yeah, but, you know, the campaign against against this project to renovate the high school was really very unfortunate that occurred, because it did it did put us at the bottom of the queue again.
Right, and that's been how many years?
I don't know. Was it like 5 or 6 years?
I was going to say at least 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah.
Oh no, it's more than that. It's at least 10 years. It may even be more.
It's one of those problems.
It was before we started the Edge, and it was way before we started the Edge.
Well, it was January of 2020. And
well,
then
maybe. 2020.
December of 2018.
No, but the original voting down was way before that. These were reapplications.
Yeah.
So we've been having a problem. You know, I mean, I think it was sometime around 2000, in the early 2000s, that this town turned it down.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that we happen right now to have a very responsive Board of Education, finally, and an administration that is extremely all of a sudden out of the blue since they came on board, this new administration, transparent. And when we used to argue with the school board and not like what the school board was doing, that had nothing, or the administration, that had nothing to do through those processes where budgets were defeated and everything like that. Anything that needed to be done for handicapped access or for making making the school. Those construction projects always went ahead. And I think sometimes people that get so super upset have to understand, they have to try to separate those two things, which is having a building where students can learn in safely and better, and then having a building which really is an impediment for them learning.
Well, that's right. And, you know, one of the things that they were going to do was upgrade the technology of the schools, which of the building itself, which needs to be done, as the process of instruction becomes more reliant upon, you know, high technology. And so the school is, you know, unable to do that, because that's a major rebuilding and rewiring of the whole school. So that's another problem, you know. But again, the question I have is whether they're going to, you know, keep pestering the Massachusetts School Building Fund for, you know, again next year. You know,
well, I hope
until they give up and give us the money.
Now, I think that persistence is the best avenue out. Now, your next couple of stories are interesting. And what's interesting, and this is what I love about local journalism and why local journalism is needed so much in our area. You've got two different stories. One from your business desk about affordable housing and how they're dealing with higher costs and administrative delays, and then the next story is about agriculture and how farmers are coping with the pandemic. Two different looks at, because really a lot of what's going on with the from your business view of it is also pandemic related, with higher costs and administrative delays and things.
Right.
Yeah. This, of course, we're going to be dealing with this for a while.
Right. I mean,
despite, you know, being the rollout of all the vaccines, you know, there are still going to be consequences for this pandemic. But in any case, one of them we have a story about is affordable housing projects that are kind of on hold because of skyrocketing costs and delays.
Well, they're not so much on hold, is that they're just costing a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, really, these organizations that build affordable housing feel that they can't put them on hold. The need is too great. But they are becoming very expensive. Steel is up. Lumber is way up. I mean, we're up to now, you know, between $400 and $500 a square foot to build a house, which is, you know, which means that for $1 million you end up with a 250 square foot house, which is not a house that reflects an investment of $1 million. But when but you know, there are plenty of big houses being built because there are plenty of people who made a lot of money in the stock market over the last year or two. But when we talk about the organizations like Construct in Great Barrington who are trying to build affordable housing, and you're coming up against these costs, it's really, you know, it's devastating. And yet, you know, we have a problem that there are lots of people buying big houses and expensive houses, but the local people, the workers, the people who service the community, can't afford to live here. And so what we're going to have is a community of, you know, expensive houses and wealthy owners and no one to do the work.
That's true, because a lot of businesses throughout, I know South County, Massachusetts, and here in Northwest Connecticut, adjacent Eastern New York, employees sometimes travel 45 minutes to get
that's
to
right.
work.
They come from Torrington.
Yeah, it's,
you know, for
it's,
example.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, when you think of what that does to the fabric of a community too, that you know, where do you get your volunteer fire people if they're 45 minutes away? I mean, the second homeowners are not going, you know, they're not able to be on the fire department.
Well, that's,
you know, and there's a terrible shortage of, you know, construction workers, maintenance people, everybody who, you know, everybody who is doing skilled or unskilled labor. So
yeah,
so,
and the other thing is, too, is it leads to this kind of rancorous division in the community,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Which is as as troublesome and as anything, because it, you know, especially in our form of government, which relies upon a town meeting, and you know, the town, when you have progressive projects that come up for the town to vote on, we have to deal with this kind of resentment.
It percolates
in the community, and that's difficult too.
And it's the resentment about why should I have to be paying high taxes to pay for schools when I don't have any children in these schools.
Well, you know, that's an interesting, and if you take the long view on housing, sooner or later, unless things change drastically throughout our entire tri-state region, there's going to be paid fire service, paid ambulance service, that really even puts more of a burden on people being able to live in our communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean
the you know, it's kind of, I've always been fond of the fact that we have a volunteer fire department. You know,
right.
there's something old fashioned and
community
centered about that. You know.
And the money it saves for having those volunteer ambulance and fire squads, people really have no idea the money that it saves if they weren't there, and the lives that are saved, the
right.
cost of human life, and that's people who've, you know, sooner or later there's gotta be a reckoning so we can deal with the long term effects of this. But then we flip over to your story on farmers, because we still have a lot of farmers in this area, and how farmers are coping with the pandemic, and of course the monetary changes in the marketplace that they deal in.
That's right.
Well, you know, this is really the flip side of the coin, because when we've got people with more disposable income, it's better for farmers because they can sell their crops at higher prices. They can, you know, many of them are including in their lineup more processed foods, you know, jams, jellies, pies, things that they can put a big markup on. And, you know, and when you've got a population with a lot of disposable income, then the farmers can sell their produce for, you know, for more money. And so, they have been very inventive over this past year. They've added online ordering, curbside pickup. They're selling right from their farms instead of going through other retailers or farmers markets. They are, you know, the farmers, I think, have come through this quite well. But it really is as a result of having people with more money to spend locally.
You know, the problems that farmers face financially, they have to be able to correctly predict what the weather's going to do with their crops.
Right. Which the weathermen never seem to be able to do.
A year ahead of time, so they know what to plant and the crops and everything. But
they know which crops to buy.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, you know, we had a vote here at Region 1, the budget passed yesterday. A total of six towns, a total of about 350 people voted out of six towns. And what I was saying to people on the air this morning is, about 8 or 9 years ago when I ran for the Board of Education in Salisbury and lost, but when I ran, that race alone, this is 8, 9 years ago, drew almost 1,000 voters. And that's how many people are not showing up at the polls. Now, I know the administration this new administration has been terrific and open, and the board's been responsive, but you still wish you had more than, that's 50 people a town. That's just terrible.
No, it's terrible, right.
Well,
and you into our next story.
Yeah, because, which is the elections, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, we rely upon this town meeting form of government, which people gather once a year to make, you know, decisions and provide direction for the select boards and the school committees. And this is this year has been, because of the pandemic, it's been really difficult to navigate that particular form of government, because we don't gather. But in any case, we have town elections are coming up, and we have a big, you know, a large number of letters, of course, from different candidates endorsing, and people endorsing various candidates, and it's kind of heartwarming actually to see the community engage in this kind of town meeting form of government.
Yes, well, and we are getting lots of letters. Man, reason we put this on our list is that we are getting lots of letters. We have one select board seat where the incumbent's term is up for re-election, and she is running to be re-elected. And then there are...
Kate Burke.
Yeah, Kate Burke. And then there are at least two. Are there more than the two people running against her?
Yep.
So we are getting... and Kate Burke is in her first term. She's just completed 1 2-year term. And I must say that the members of the select board who have been working with her for the last 2 years... two of them have written letters endorsing her.
Yeah, so, which is kind of unusual, actually.
Yeah, so they must be very eager to have her stay on. They must feel she's doing a good job.
Now, what's going on in that the uprising, the Mount Washington?
Mount Washington. Oh, my God. You should ask. But we have this little mountaintop town.
Tiny town,
population 538, and it's at the very top of the mountain, and anyways, there's a brouhaha brewing up there, and what has led to the resignation of the town clerk and a select board member. Those are the same person, by the way. So. That's how small this town is. The town clerk and the select board are one and the same.
And how many other members of the select board are there?
I think there's three.
Right.
So
all together. So there's two
together.
More.
Yeah. So it's you could call this a tempest in a teapot, but.
It's their teapot in their tempest.
And our headline says, emotions boil over at the top of Mount Washington. Uh-huh. It's fun to see this little town, which is you hardly hear anything about, become the center of such public controversy. And you know the people in Mount Washington. They all know each other very well. It's not like there are thousands and thousands of people in town, and you only know a few. This is everybody knows everybody there. Mm-hmm. So this is like a family feud. It's kind of quintessential New England.
All right. I want to. Well, I go on to what we have about 4.5 minutes left, and that is a piece from your naturalist desk. I like that naturalist desk. I like that.
Well, we have different desks. Yes. You understand that we have a business desk. We have the school, the education desk. We have the political desk, which we were just talking about, and we have, of course, right across from me is the naturalist desk.
And you're talking about hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds, right. They're back, which is a good sign. They came flying thousands of miles to return to the Berkshires, which is, when people say, geez, what about what about all these out-of-towners that come and stay for the summer? You know, this is the, you know, avian version of that. Except these people are coming from, you know, South America.
And more people here are feeding hummingbirds. And, you know, there's been a problem that has been identified in Connecticut. I don't know about Massachusetts. People not cleaning their hummingbird feeder and hummingbirds actually getting infections in their beaks and everything like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and because now so many people feed hummingbirds when they come back. So it's one of those problems. But one of the smallest birds you'll ever see, but really when you have somebody that takes a video of them and then enhances it and slows it down, they are truly amazing creatures. Truly amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and they're moving so fast.
And they dart around. They're quite wonderful. And, you know, as our article says, they are back. They follow the blooming, they follow the flowers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, welcome. I would say welcome back, hummingbirds.
Yeah.
You know, they're the kind of tourists, you might say, or second homeowners that we really love.
Second homeowners, that's right. Or now we're calling them not occasional. Well, there's
seasonal.
Seasonal residents, right?
It's amazing how they fit into the ecology of the area and how important those little hummingbirds are.
Yes, they are.
So you guys are going to have a real busy week, and next week, by the time we speak, we'll have some results in these elections, right?
That's right.
Yes, they're at the beginning of June, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a busy season, and it is odd with this pandemic, you know. It's not as companionable, let's say.
Well, no, you're right, because last night with the Region 1 elections, this is the second year in a row. Normally, I have people in every town hall, and we get the vote total, and then we get it on the air. But once again, this year, no, we didn't do that. We wait, and the regions send us the information, and we put it on the next morning. But it's changed the way we cover news, especially elections and events where people vote. It has totally changed the way we have to cover.
Like town meetings, you know, as we say, our town meeting form of government, which is very democratic, but it does require people to come together.
Yeah.
And this pandemic has crippled that process. You know, it's really a shame.
All right.
But we're all getting, hopefully, next year we'll all be inoculated and we won't have this problem and we'll be able to meet in public again.
All right. Well, once again, to BerkshireEdge.com, not only news and information, but also your calendar of upcoming events and your magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Magazine coming out at the end of May, going to the printer on Friday this week. So, and we also will have the online calendar and our new wedding section. If you're getting married or thinking of getting married in the Berkshires, we have all the resources that you might be looking for in our new wedding section.
All right. That is theberkshireedge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay.
Well, have a good week, Marshall.
And happy Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yes. Cinco de Mayo. Yes.
Well, that's today.
Wow.
Yeah. Hola.
Hola.
Okay, guys. We'll speak to you next week. That is this week, our look at the news and stories off of BerkshireEdge.com. That's where you can find them. And, of course, on our on-demand page, RobinHoodRadio.com. Click on on-demand. Click on the Berkshire Edge on air.